Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, we do so joyfully on this week of joy. And Father, we pray that you would show us in a joyful way how you love us and how you have redeemed us and how you call us yours. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So friends, this third Sunday of Advent has us just 12 days away from Christmas. And Christmas has celebration all around it. I mean, Christmas is always a very celebratory time. Why do we make all these preparations? Why do we cook all the food? Why do we shop both in person and online, and then we proceed to wrap gifts? Or if you're like me and you don't wrap gifts very well at all, you throw them in a bag. That's nice. A little tissue paper fluffed on top. Why do we go through all the trouble? Well, the reason is this. Because we do this because Jesus and what the coming of Christ means for you and me. Like, this matters, and we're excited, we're joyful, we want to share it with people around us. And in chapter 61 of Isaiah, Isaiah tells us why Jesus has come. And really, there's two parts of pieces of these verses that show the job description of Jesus when he comes to us on this earth. And the text itself begins like this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Christ is the Greek term and Messiah is the Hebrew term. And really, they both mean the same thing. Jesus is the chosen one. And this one who's chosen has these two pieces of his job description. And so we're going to look at both of these. And the first piece we're going to look at as we're looking at the job descriptions of Jesus is this. Jesus has come to proclaim the good news. And this would really cover what was said in the first couple of verses. This kind of is the piece that proclaims this. The Spirit of God, of the Lord God, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. So this is really Jesus, the Messiah's work of proclamation, to proclaim who he is and what he's doing. And look at how many of these things in that just brief text discuss that. Jesus is the Word of God. He is, as John says, the Word made flesh. And he comes to this earth in the form of a helpless, dependent baby. And trust me when I tell you that babies are dependent. I know this from experience right now. They need you for everything. That's Jesus as he comes to this earth. Yet his proclamation, his whole ministry, even Jesus himself, is the proclamation of good news, the gospel for you and me. And he comes announcing this arrival of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of eternal blessing, now here and through God's Son. And that's good news. That's something that brings us joy. And look at the things he proclaims. Good news to the poor. The binding up of the brokenhearted. Liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Isn't it awesome when you look at all of those different ways that Jesus proclaims the good news? That he seems to meet various people where they're at. He He comes in to the situations of where people are at to meet their needs. Isn't that an awesome thing? So how about you? With those situations I just mentioned, do any of those describe you today? Are you poor? Not just poor physically, but maybe or like financially, but maybe poor in spirit, just beat down? Are you brokenhearted? Are you captive to something? Are you prison bound? Are any of these true for you either literally or figuratively? Are you economically poor? If so, God is for you. He takes care of you. No matter how hard things are, have been, or will be, Jesus is for you. Do you realize your spiritual poverty? Has there been a moment where you're like, man, I try and I try to do what God calls me to do and I fail and I'm so frustrated and I realize I can't save myself? Good news for you. God bestows on you the riches of his grace. He bestows the riches of his grace on those who are empty-handed. Those who just come and go, Lord, I've got nothing. I need you to rescue me. How about the brokenhearted? Is that you? So many disappointments in our lives. Senses of loss, especially in 2020. I mean, retirement parties you've missed, birthday parties that you've missed. There's been weddings that have either been rescheduled or outright canceled. Funerals that maybe you couldn't see your loved ones or you lost loved ones and it hurts and you're struggling with it. This doesn't even mention how perhaps you and I have let ourselves down. And we're dealing with that hurt and that disappointment as well. Good news for you. The Lord is sending the Messiah, your Messiah, Jesus, to bind up your wounds. God binds and heals broken hearts, friends. He restores our wholeness as people, beginning now and fully when Jesus the Messiah comes back on that final day, as we have talked about over the last few weeks. Jesus heals, he restores, and he loves. It says this, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. There are sometimes, friends, we just put ourselves in prisons of our own making. Just by what we do, by what we say, by what we think. And the devil also tries to trap us with his tricks and his lies. You've seen it in your life. And sometimes, honestly, he succeeds. But Christ comes to bust us out of that prison. The Bible tells us if the Son sets you are free indeed. And there's more. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance on our God. What's the saying? Well, the day of the Lord's favor is that moment where Jesus has given you and I grace. And this is a way I don't always think about grace, but it came to me again. I was reminded of it with this acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. That the year of the Lord's favor is Jesus pouring out his grace, God the Father pouring out his grace on you and me through the Messiah, Jesus. And then vengeance on those who have turned from Jesus simply means this. God defeats for us our biggest enemies, the devil, sin, and death. He takes care of those on our behalf because we can't do it. He takes care of it for us. And so the Messiah is good newsing the poor. He's binding the brokenhearted. He's liberating the captives. He's releasing the prisoners. He's favoring us. He's defeating our enemies. All these things the Messiah comes to proclaim. Jesus comes to proclaim. I'm telling you this. But he comes not only to proclaim these things. Jesus comes to perform these things for you and me. He not only announces these things, he achieves these things. He doesn't just speak about these wonderful works. He's the one who actually does them for you and me. How? Well, Jesus performs what he proclaims by coming to us, among us who are poor, who are brokenhearted. He enters our halls of death. He shares our sorrows and suffering and dying, and he puts an end to them. Jesus himself, he was led captive to the cross to die, where, ironically enough, in his death, he defeated death for us. He defeated our enemies, sin, death, and the devil once and for all. And taking all of our sins, all of the death we deserved upon himself. And as a result, we have his grace forever. And we benefit by receiving the riches of God's grace in the forgiveness of sins. I mean, good news proclaimed and performed for you and me. So that's the first part of the Messiah's job description. And the next part is one maybe we don't talk about a lot or we're not real familiar with. I at least can admit I was not real familiar with it before I began researching this text. And so the second part of his job description is to provide new garments. Here's what I mean. When the Messiah says what the Lord has anointed him to do, he continues by saying, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. So what's happening is there's kind of a clothing exchange going on here, a putting on of joyful, lively clothes and removing those clothes full of grief and despair. It's like a whole new wardrobe because we deal with death and disease, sickness, sorrow, the loss of loved ones, the aging process, our bodies that are wearing down each day as we get older. And just there's always a, it seems to be an over a sense of loss and regret. And man, life can wear us down, cause us sadness. It can cause us to mourn and despair. We often in life have our grief garments on. That's what we find ourselves wearing. But living as we do in the moment of mourning, there comes this big surprise in the midst of it. Jesus is coming. He's got a whole new line of clothing for us to try on. So if you've been wearing ashes to symbolize your burnout or your grief, your despair, if you've been wearing ashes to show your humble acknowledgement that you have brokenness and sin, and if you've been wearing your ashes because of this season of life and how hard it has been, then the Messiah Jesus has something different for you to wear. He says, why don't you try this on for size? He gives you a beautiful headdress, something that a priest or king would wear to show you matter to him. You are beloved. The Messiah puts on you the oil of gladness instead of sadness. So you are anointed. You get to feel God's Spirit on you and in you. And then if you've been faint of heart, if you've been full of despair, lacking confidence and trusting God, there's hope for you as well. That's a normal place sometimes for us to be. To have that, God, where are you? What are you doing right now in my life? Are you here? Here comes Christ. He places on your shoulders the garment of praise. Now, what do you see as a garment of praise? Maybe it's a new custom suit, your most comfortable pair of jeans. Maybe it's a new dress. Maybe it's a brand new, beautiful choir robe as you join the chorus of praises to our God. And to provide these new garments that God is giving his people who have been wearing these grief garments for so long, this is part of Jesus the Messiah's job description. And that then becomes our song of joy before God in this text, where we are the ones praising God, as it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. See, friends, in holy baptism, it's another way that God has put on these garments on you. You see, Christ has put his perfect robe of righteousness on you through baptism. This is your new garment that you get to wear daily. This is your white robe that you'll wear for eternity. This robe that was dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it came out white because all of your sins are forgiven. You are redeemed and restored. Your sins are washed away. This new garment is you. Actually, it's Christ on you. And Christ fits perfectly on you. See, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's the anointed one. John the Baptist announces his arrival. And brothers and sisters, if you could use some good news today, this good news is yours. If you like to wear those new garments that Jesus has given you, wear them, rock them, because Jesus himself has given them to you. He's given you joy and forgiveness and grace. So rejoice in the grace and mercy Jesus has given you. Amen. Please rise.